Get your soul, yeah, today. Loving your whole being in a spiritual way. Get your soul. Want you to hear it, bless you, body, mind, soul, and your spirit. And you gotta take care of yourself. If not, you can't care for nobody else. So I'm here to stand in the gap for you, because Satan got a trap set for you. But now we can make it together, we can take it together. You gotta take the time right to get your mind right.
Get your soul, yeah, today. Loving your whole being in a spiritual way. Get your soul.
All right, what's up, everybody? Happy Thursday morning to every single one of y'all. Thursday morning, Lord have mercy. Happy Thursday afternoon. How about that? Happy Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening to you. We're in a brand new month, and man, the month is, the year is just kind of floating on by. I'm thankful today for God's sustaining power and presence over our lives all year long already. I was practicing what I was preaching, Dr. Peacock. Sometimes we have to preach what we practice as well, but I was putting in my journal the other day, and I just wrote, thank you, Lord, for being a keeper, right? And the verse that came to mind was, now unto him who's able to keep us from falling. Right? It sounds simple, but for me, I just kind of had a time of reflection of just thinking about all the ways that I know and don't know of how he's kept me, and got a little full thinking about that. But anyway, welcome to Soul Care today, y'all. It's a blessing. We're back.
Hey.
Hello.
I got my partner in rhyme with me, Dr. Carter. What's up, Dr. Carter?
Hello. How are you this wonderful? Well, you've already said how you are this wonderful evening. So thank you for sharing that. You've also made me reflect on the things that we just don't even know that he does. It's just such a, it's so, so good. And I'm so excited to be here to have this conversation.
Yeah. Hey, family that's watching, just so y'all know, I had to just kind of get my bearings just for a minute. Dr. Carter travels quite a bit, and she tried to throw me under the bus. Those of you that know me know that I have the spiritual gift of food and hospitality. It's a real spiritual gift. So any place that I recommend, listen, you can take it to the bank. It's going to be good. So I recommended this restaurant in this particular town to Dr. Carter. Y'all know what she had the audacity to tell me? It was too expensive. That's what she told me.
I told the truth. That's what I did. That's what I had the audacity to say, the truth. Yup.
No, she was being a great steward over her company's resources. So we're going to honor that. We're going to honor that. But then when her and her family and her husband and all that, they get a chance to travel, she's going to go, and because they can afford to go to the restaurant, but the per diem just didn't meet the quota. How about that?
Wow, that's not the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to eat big when it is an expense account.
That's
come
what
on
I was
now.
Thinking, Pastor Brown. That's
when
what I was
it's
thinking.
Your own money, you only get the appetizers.
hey, when it's my money, everybody's drinking water. There's
that's
no
right. Dessert. Only when it's expense. No,
you get the free cookie at the hotel. That's your dessert.
This is gonna be fun tonight. All right, let's go.
Y'all, we got the Sage on the stage with us tonight. She is smiling as usual, calm as usual. She's in her element in nature right there behind her. That is not a virtual screen. That is a real backdrop, y'all. That is a real backdrop. Everybody clap it up for the one and the only, the one of a kind, Dr. Barbara L. Peacock. Come on. Woo. Clock it. Clock it. Clock it. Dr. Peacock, happy Thursday. Welcome to September.
I'm going to say happy Thursday slowly.
The energy was too high for her, y'all. She's in a woosah moment.
It's not too high. I like all kinds of energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good to be here. So excited about how God is going to speak through Pastor Brown about soul care. Real talk from a man of God who is faithful to the journey and has embraced the journey of soul care. And I'm not going to spill all the beans. I'm going to save some for it later. But we're thankful to be here with all of you that are here. And we're going to have fun, too. So I want you. That's why I wanted to say I'm going to say happy Thursday slowly, because some of you maybe have tuned in and you'd be like, what is going on? But I want you to know, you still have, this is soul care. Soul care has all rhythms. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soul care has all rhythms. And Pastor Harris, I was thinking about soul food when we were talking.
Come on.
When we were talking about Dr. Carter's budget. and so sometimes, you know, we see these plates on social media, and you have to look really hard to see what on the plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dr. Carter. So there's so many ways to take care of your soul. So you deserve the best of everything. You deserve the best of everything.
Amen. Okay.
Amen. But Pastor Harris, did you disappear on us?
What happened to our host?
He will be back. We know that he is gifted and talented in these areas. We're just going to keep on going.
There he is. Yeah.
Okay.
That's called hitting the wrong button. That's what that's called.
Okay. Are you sure? You said you don't be drinking, but you sure you didn't blank that screen out? Go take a sip of something. Come on now.
I'm positive. I am positive. So for those of you that are new, let me just kind of frame for you why we're here and what this is about. Our aim and our goal every single month is to have a month of discussion that helps you to live out of a healthy soul. All of us on this call have been around and engaged, not just in ministry, but in church work and in serving, in leadership and as laity as well. And we've gotten to a place in our lives where we recognize that there's a lot of truth to the scripture and to the idea around having a healthy soul. Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. Jesus asked the question, what does it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Suke, right? The seat of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so we felt like it would be important for us, and as African Americans, who recognize that this is really important, conversation for us to have, because by and large, and Dr. Peacock has done an amazing job at helping to, champion and be one leg of this, this race of soul care in African American practice and what it looks like for African Americans to move forward in these conversations around spiritual discipline. So we want to be a breath of fresh air for you. This doesn't have to be high and very sarcodotal. This doesn't have to be unreachable. It doesn't have to be unattainable. Yes, there may be introductions of new language and new practices, but it's for everybody's good. And we want to give you tools for a healthy soul, but also we want to give you wisdom for how to integrate spiritual care and spiritual soul care into your daily living. Dr. Peacock mentioned it earlier. This is now conversation number 5, I think it is. Yes. We started out this year really introducing what soul care is and talking about that, and really introducing our audiences, reintroducing in some cases to Dr. Peacock, who we have said is not just another pioneer and running her leg in this race, but she's an industry leader in soul care. We then talked about daily spiritual practices and what that looks like in your daily living. We talked about prayer as a lifeline to your soul. We then had an incredible conversation on the gift and the guidance that is known as spiritual direction in that process. And then last month, man, it was such a historical conversation where we really did have pioneers on this platform, individuals that as early as the 1980s that started moving in this space and getting doctorates, earned doctorates, not diploma meal doctorates in this space. And so tonight we felt like it would be important, and this month we felt like it would be important to really have a conversation for Soul Care, specifically directed at men, because this very often is a conversation that they get isolated against or feels like it's not germane to them. And I'm excited that we've got Pastor Howard Brown on. Just in the time that we've had the chance to meet, I can recognize that he's grounded, that he loves the Lord. And I can't wait for you all to get a chance to hear his heart as well. But like the prophet in the Old Testament, I have this one thing against him. And
what might it be?
Hey, to everybody that's watching, a part of Soul Care is laughter. So if you can't, if this is too deep for you and you don't know how to laugh, you're in the wrong place. I can tell you that right now. But it's football season, it's college football season. And his team lost the opening weekend. They lost the opening weekend at home, might I add. And my team won opening weekend at home, might I add. And so y'all pray for him as he comes tonight. He's got sackcloth and ashes on, and he's probably jaywalking through the Book of Lamentations as we get ready for this conversation tonight. But it's all good. Pastor Brown, how are you, man? It's good to see you. God bless
you. I'm doing good. You know, they tried to get rid of my Lord the first night. They were worried. You know, they scattered. But we know how that story ended. So my team would be back. My team would be back. I don't lose hope on the first week of the season.
It's not how you start. It's how you finish, right?
Yeah. That's right. I hope so. So it's good to be on here with you guys, and I'm excited about this topic.
Absolutely. Why don't you come very just quickly? Pastor Brown, I'm going to have you share a little bit of what God has been doing in your life and sort of a little bit of your background. But let me just have Dr. Peacock maybe just come and frame the relationship and share a little bit about you from her perspective, and then we'll go.
So much, Pastor Harris. Many of you know Pastor Howard Brown. He was the pastor and founder of Christ Central off of the plaza for several years, he and his wife and their children, and did a faithful job there. And that's where I met him, through his church, when I walked alongside him as a pastor there, as he was going through a journey of seeking to find rest on his Sabbath. He had a year Sabbath, and we give God praise for that year of Sabbath, that his church and his elders were wise enough to know that he needed that. And some of you listening need some rest, need a Sabbath. Maybe not a yearly Sabbath, but maybe a month of Sabbath or a week of Sabbath, or just taking a Sabbath day during the week, or some Sabbath hours. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so Pastor Brown, after we walked together on that journey, God called him to Atlanta, and he started a ministry called Kindred Hope, he and his wife and family. And so he's there in Atlanta, and his church is committed to the journey of Soul Care, taking care of the soul, as Pastor Harris has shared with us. Traditionally, we know that as the mind, will, and emotion, but we also know that's the whole part of the being, because when God breathed into Adam, he became a living person. There was no part of him that was excluded. So the soul can become very complex. When we start talking about spirit and soul and heart, it can become very complex. But Pastor Brown, I'm so excited is our guest tonight, but I'm also so excited that he's in our second cohort with Peacock Soul Care, and he is a student with Peacock Soul Care. So let's celebrate. And we really want you to know that soul care, like I said, is holistic, is for men and women. Sometimes people think soul care is just for women. It's for men and women. And Pastor Brown has an amazing testimony about how soul care is imperative for his journey. So I turn it over back to Pastor Harris and anything he wants to ask Pastor Brown to follow up from there.
Yeah. So Pastor Brown, just because I already have some questions, but I do want to just introduce yourself, have you introduce yourself a little bit, whatever you're comfortable sharing, share with our audience and share with our viewing folks a little bit about you and your background and how you got to where you are today. Briefly.
Yeah. So I've been ordained pastor in the Presbyterian Church in America for 25 years now. And I started Christ Central Church that Dr. Peacock mentioned 20 years ago, and planted that church, pastored there for 20 years. And, you know, I got to a place in my ministry where I recognize, I'll use the term, I burned out a number of times. By the time I took my sabbatical, I would say it was burnout 6.0.
Wow.
And, you know, as a pastor, I think we have a tendency, not just pastors, anybody pushing in any kind of work or passionate calling even, to push through being tired, pushing through exhaustion. And I think we kind of get this feeling that if we just go over the next hill, right, there'll be something there, there'll be rest, and it just turns out to be another exhausting journey. I had you get certain habits, certain vices, certain ways you work, certain vices that you take up. Many of them people won't even see. I found myself performing more than really being present. I felt myself pushing more than being called and sort of pulled into and pushed forward by God and towards Him. My relationship with God was ornamental. You know, it was what I did. And I felt like it wasn't, you know, I was just working for God.
Hold on for just 1 second, Pastor Brown, because I'm going to let you finish. But
yeah,
I think you just said something. It's a sticky statement that we just run past, right?
Yeah.
You said my relationship with God was ornamental. Wow. Like,
yeah.
Break that down some. In Dr. Carter's words, tell it to me like we're eight. Like what does that mean?
I mean, it was my fit. It was my outward appearance. It was what I did. I did things to keep the appearance and the performance alive. And even, you know, I don't think I necessarily preach bad sermons. I don't think I actually made bad pastoral decisions. The church was growing, things were going, but my relationship with God was not, it wasn't living. I don't know what term to use outside of ornamental.
Wow.
I felt like I was doing more than I was being.
Wow. Doing more than you were being.
Yeah. Yeah. Performing more than just being present. Like, and
let me say this, right? Like in the PCA, you guys have a long ordination process as well, correct?
Yeah. It's serious. Yeah. So, you know, you have to go to seminary, and I think I did 3 or 4 years of seminary. Four. So it's a 4-year Master of Divinity degree. I did typically three. But I took a little longer. And then the ordination process is definitely pretty rigorous. And so when you get over that hump, I think part of the thinking can be, I did it. I made it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's highly intellectual and theological. And so it can be easy if you're not there, if you're not spiritually, if you don't have good soul care going on. It's easy if you can theologically, intellectually get through the process.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you can recognize if you're like me, I'm sure a lot of people get through and they're fine. But yeah, if you're like me, you can get through on your intellect, on your theological stuff, on your relationships, and not really have an ongoing living relationship with the Lord where you're hearing from him and you're seeking him and you're enjoying living life with him.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a two-part question.
Yeah.
Part one is to you. Part two is to Dr. Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have Dr. Carter come in and ask the next question.
Yeah.
So you're going through the motions.
Yeah.
You are doing more than you're being, your mm-hmm. work. You mm-hmm. are performing.
Mm-hmm.
You're pushing through being tired.
Mm-hmm.
So part one of the question, or part A of the question, is what caused you to hit the brick wall then? To say, I got to do something different. And what was that initial process of engaging in soul care or spiritual direction like for you? Where was the resistance for you? What didn't feel good? And then I'd like for part B of the question, Dr. Peacock, for you to come and share, as his initial spiritual director, what did you observe that you can share as relates to how he was getting integrated into the soul care process? Because I heard you say earlier that it took y'all a while to get into a rhythm, right? Mm-hmm. So Pastor Brown, share that, and then Dr. Peacock, whatever you're comfortable sharing or can share.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a two-part process, especially for men. I think that if you were to just look at your life, you may be like, my understanding my exhaustion and how tired I was didn't happen until after I entered the soul care process. Wow. So I like to say, you don't know what you don't know, and you can't always see it. And so soul care requires a director. It requires somebody actually who can see you and hear you and help you see what's going on. And so, you know, I thought the rest that I needed was the same thing as vacation.
Mm.
Vacating is not the same thing as resting. Just like a vacation is not the same thing as a holiday, right? And so I feel like the process of recognizing just how exhausted, empty, and tired I was doing, like, we put together the soul care process because it was what I saw other people doing. So I put it as part of my sabbatical, and I was like, okay, I heard about this Dr. Peacock. I think she can do it. You know, a Black woman, she got all the credentials. And I had been through some gospel movements. And so I kind of recognized sort of what I was thirsty for, and that I was sort of thirsty and things were sort of empty. The other pieces that begin to happen is, if you're married, you recognize that your marital relationship begins to fall apart. You know, if your wife is like, and we'll get into this, hopefully we'll get into talking about what God's calling of a helpmeet is, not just the most intimate one being your wife. It's actually a reflection of his character. But when you get to a place where you can't be helped or you won't receive that help, it's a sign that you're off the rails.
Yeah.
When you don't have a helper, if you don't have someone listening to you, if you aren't willing to be seen or known, then that's a sign that you're off the rails a little bit. I was having health problems. So I had every Black man issue, right? The blood pressure, the cholesterol, the diabetes, the sugar stuff, right? and I recognized my body was saying, help me. Mm-hmm. My marriage was saying, help me. My relationship with my boys were saying, help me, right? And so when I went on sabbatical again, I thought it was going to be vacation. Mm-hmm. And so I put Dr. Peacock, I looked in, and my elders walked in. Again, someone seeing you. My elder said, let's contact Dr. Peacock and let's let her write the sabbatical up. Wow. Instead of you writing it up.
Wow.
It was entering that process, because when she put the sabbatical together for me, okay, y'all, I'm going to be honest, I messed it up. She had something designed for me, and I went into it with that work, non-rested, non-cared for soul, and I made the life of my family on that sabbatical miserable.
Wow. Like, give us a specific example. Just one specific example.
You know, like Dr. Peacock had on there, you know, having devotional time as a family. And so I was like, y'all, get up. We got to have devotion. Come on. Well, Daddy, we want to ride our bikes. No, we're going to do devotion now. Why y'all getting all tired? Why y'all don't want to learn about the Lord? Like, I was pushy, irritable, and mean, just evil, you know.
You were a Pharisee on sabbatical.
That's right. And Dr. Peacock says to me, hey, just tear that up. Don't do nothing. I'm like, well, we need to read the Bible together. Nope, just, you're not ready. I need you to be still, go fishing, and hear from the Lord.
Mm. Wow.
It was, and so then there was more of a personal care. She didn't give me just a piece of paper. She actually, and this is the thing I was going to talk about with men. Men for soul care have to be doggedly pursued. You can't just provide a space and say, come. You can't just provide a direction sheet and say, hey, follow this and or read this and you'll get soul care. That's not how it works for men. We run, and we have to actually be run after and wrestled down with love and consistency. And so I just feel like that was the thing that got me. Not wow. Go over here or show up here. It was her continual pursuit of my soul. Which was God pursuing my soul. That was the thing that made the difference for me.
Wow. Dr. Peacock, from your angle.
That phrase, doggedly pursued, hit me. From my perspective, I knew it was a calling and an assignment. And I knew he was resisting with everything in him. And as he said earlier, he didn't know what he didn't know. And the Bible says it very clearly that we perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So Pastor Brown, in all his years of ministry, had not pulled away to be alone with God in this manner. Doesn't mean for an extended period of time. So you can imagine 20 years of service. You're not just going to come down overnight unless it's a miracle. I mean, he's been running this marathon for 20 years. And Pastor Brown, I don't know how your vitals are on all of your systems, but I pray they're better. But we don't realize how much stress that's causing the body. Much of what we experience physically is affected by our emotions.
Mm. Yeah, the body keeps the score. That's so true.
Yes.
That's part of soul care, though. Soul care is holistic care.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took him a minute. And as a spiritual director, as a soul care provider, as a formative leader, we can't get tired in pursuing.
Wow.
When God has assigned a soul,
wow.
We can't, And one of the, there's so many challenges in the body of Christ as it relates to taking care of oneself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we take care of oneself, we take care of the soul. There's no part that's not complete. But the finish, the result of the pursuit of coming, of pursuing and seeking and prayer and laboring is worth it at the end. What I saw in not just Pastor Brown individually, but in his marriage and with his children, and even in his ministry, has been nothing short of a miracle.
Wow.
And for him to enter Peacock Soul Care just touched my heart so much. And to know that God is raising him up to be a transformative soul care leader blesses my heart. You know, I pray that I can continue on for another decade or two. But if I don't, this man right here will make an impact on the souls of pastors around this world.
Yeah. I love it. So the focus tonight is on men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we felt like it would be important to have this discussion because, and I acknowledged this, I think last month or maybe 2 months ago, that much of my spiritual formation growing up, I saw men leading in ministry. But when it came to spiritual disciplines and practices, prayer service and those kinds of things, the bulk of that I saw resting on the shoulders of women. And when I would see conversations of prayer or journaling or sitting quiet before the Lord or tarrying before the Lord.
The mothers.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm looking for the men to figure out, like, how do I do this as a man? Right. And, you know, as you get older, you get wiser and you start discovering, oh, no, this is not that. But representation matters. So what does it look like to be an authentic man praying passionately in a way that is manly? Right. What does it look like for a busy man? Pastor Brown acknowledged this earlier, to learn to be still. You know, what does that quiet time look like? All of those kinds of things. And to do it in a way that you say, I ain't crazy, ain't nothing wrong with me. It's healthy for me to do this. So we felt like it'd be important to literally have this discussion tonight and challenge men, give hope for wives and for women as it relates to the soul care of the men in their life, the men in the church, et cetera, et cetera. Dr. Carter, let me toss it to you for the next question as we continue on the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
Dr. Carter.
Oh, I thought you were asking Pastor Brown a question. I'm into this conversation. I am just enthralled. I thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Brown, you have been so forthcoming and so willing to show vulnerability, and it's so appreciated. This is such an important space. Just from the short time that we have been together, I'm a story person. So I'm seeing that you have a story. You have a story as African American. You have a story as a pastor. You have a story as theologian. You have a story as a husband, a father. You have a story as a soul care recipient. So what do you find in these days, not the long time ago days, but in these days now, what do you find to be the most impactful story to share with men who are looking to who know something's missing but don't know what they're looking for? What is the most impactful story that you share in these days?
Well, I mean, my story is only one of so many stories that we see in scripture. So I tend to look at scripture and be like, wow, it is filled with stories of God's pursuit of us as men, calling us, wrestling with us, never letting go, never giving up, never leaving it up to us to show up where we need to be in order to get the rest and blessings that he's promised. Because we always fail to enter into the rest, right? So it's almost as if by God's grace, he sent Christ in the Holy Spirit to allow that rest to enter into our lives. So soul care is missional, right? It isn't, you get spiritual direction. It isn't like giving directions to people or making them feel so condemned that they go. I tend to believe that men will actually run from that as opposed to run away from that. And, you know, here's the deal. In our world, we are rewarded for being, for working hard and being tired. Right? We're rewarded for that. You know, you mentioned, Pastor Harris mentioned how it looked like it was the women, it was the mothers that seemed to be praying. And I read some soul care books that we had, and, you know, one of them has a chapter on midwifery, right, of soul care. And she even acknowledges that there's something really, whether it's God has put in place sociologically, whether he's put in place gender or culturally to reveal who he is, oftentimes, even through scripture, when we look at the stories of scripture, he's used women to express and bring to the world the kind of keys, you know, or the kind of character and thoughts or ideas behind soul care itself, right? Wow. So he put Adam in the garden to work it. Right. But Adam required rest and soul care. Right. Because that was the end goal for him to enjoy God and glorify God. Work was just a means of doing that. It's amazing that right after God tells him about not eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, he says it's not good for Adam to be alone. I'm going to make him a help meet. Right. Eleazar. If you look at that, that is a that's a masculine noun form in the Hebrew, the original language that was written, and that Eleazar continues to apply to God's help of us.
Yeah.
Right? And so in order for us to enter rest, we need help.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're, and oftentimes men don't want to look helpless.
But let's swim upstream.
Yeah.
Pass around and address why that is the case. Right. Because this is not the kind of platform or the kind of conversation where we're throwing men under the bus. Right.
No.
The goal is for this to be empowering and reflective. And so when we talk about that, right, we don't want to appear to be helpless. In some ways, right, every gift mismanaged can become a burden. So in some ways, it's the mismanagement of the gift and the brilliance that God has wired in men, right? But in other cases, it's social, it's socialization that we've been socialized. You know, there's I joke about this. Dr. Peacock, don't make fun of me, please. There's this cartoon movie. I don't know if you've seen it, Pastor Brown. I don't know how old your kids are. I'm sure Dr. Carter is probably familiar with it. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And in the movie, there's this one scene where the main character gets ready to cry, Pastor Brown. And as the tear starts getting ready to stream down his face, he starts having this conversation with the tear. Get back in there. Get back in here. He's telling the tear to get back into his, into his eyes. Don't fall. And I think that's a powerful illustration
for what many men have experienced from their early primitive years up through their young adult years, and in some cases even as adults, right? That there is this notion or this idea, you can't be emotional, you can't be authentic with your feelings, you can't show signs of weakness, don't let them see you cry. You know, if you're asking for help, that's a sign of weakness. You know, all of those things that sort of add up. And I think in some ways we're talking about some barriers that prohibit or hinder men from leaning into soul care. So that's let's deal with that a little bit more. Let's unpack that a little bit more. And in fact, I'm going to ask all three of you all, Pastor Brown, I'm going to start with you, and then Dr. Carter, I want you to come. Dr. Peacock, I want you to come after that. What do you all think some real barriers are to men and soul care, like the process of soul care, the process of spiritual direction?
Okay. I mean, I think it, like you said, you know, if you look at the church, it appears that the ideas behind soul care, counseling, caring, listening, sharing, all of that kind of stuff seem very feminine.
Mm.
But if you look at the scripture, even though you may see God really doing that through many women in scripture, it is still who he is coming through them for the good of all men. Yeah. And our world does not pay the most money to the helpless.
Hold on. Yeah. You got, man, when you say these powerful things, you got to slow down and give everybody a chance to catch up with what you're saying.
It doesn't pay to be helpless. It doesn't, like, if you really want to be the man and have the job and have to be in control and powerful, God says that that part of soul care is being seen, overseen, someone looking at you and hearing you. Nobody wants to hire the person who needs oversight and care. Nobody wants the person who needs nurturing and a hug. Nobody needs anybody who needs help. I'll pay more money for the person who don't need the help, who's not afraid, who is not. And yet all of those things I mentioned are the doorway and opening to experiencing the Lord.
Wow.
And it gets more complicated when you start to bring in the historical context of African American men. Because when you come from slavery and you come from oppression, the number one sign it feels of being free is not being helpless, not being dependent, right? Not needing somebody, here we go, to oversee you. I don't want no more overseers. I don't want to be nurtured. I don't want to need a hug. I want to feel like I've overcome all of those obstacles that made me feel like I was less than a man because I was treated as such. Yet the gospel says that the means to knowing God and growing in faith is actually the road of, it's actually paved by somebody who says, I need a helpmeet.
Yeah.
I need Elroy. I need a God who sees me.
Yeah.
Right. I need a God who will nurture me and love me and birth me again. That language is not the language of the most powerful, money making, in charge brothers who ain't caught up in slavery and oppression. It seems like you just being an oppressed woman, right? If you begin to act like that.
Wow.
So that seems to be an uphill battle for a lot of men. And they aren't, and because of that, let me just say this last point, because they're seeking to not being helpless, they're not available to be dealt with and confronted and to listen and to hear. We're not available. We're working because we believe that's our redemption.
Mm. And in some cases, probably not all, but in some cases, also, we're working because our identity is connected to that work.
Oh yeah,
I mean that identity piece. can't get into it. We need to do another one. But if you look at the Ten Commandments, once you get down to the one about the Sabbath, the fourth one, your identity is wrapped up in the very introduction to the Ten Commandments, which is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. And so you have to sort of enter in as weak, as broken, as needy, as one who needed deliverance in order to even get to the rest.
Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing of what you're saying is that everything about the start or the engagement, let me back up. Everything about successfully navigating the spiritual direction and the soul care process is completely countercultural to everything that we've been given to even navigate what real success looks like.
That's right. And oppression and the complicated relationships is created between Black women and Black men has made it worse. We don't want to look like grandmama and them in church jumping up and down. We don't want to look like that. And yet there's one man in the whole church that doesn't mind it, and that's the pastor. And so he feeds that sort of, I want to be careful here, that sort of emotion in church. And sometimes it's repelling to men. Because
No. All the time.
And guess what? Women show up. If you have, we're going to have a prayer service. Women show up. Men don't show up. It repels us. And so the pastor gets the audience and emotion he wants. But let me tell you where the work, where the real work is. The real work is pursuing those men, like Dr. Peacock did me, a woman pursuing me and loving me. And that's the thing we don't know about.
Pastor Brown, let me just we're gonna detour for a quick second and come right back to this mile marker right here where you're at. Okay, we're gonna detour just for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you touched the nerve on something real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in the African American context, that has we got to do a better job at having this conversation about, and that is this, right? So, patriarchy is a thing. This is not a denial of that reality.
No, it's not.
Okay. At the same time, in many spaces, men don't see themselves when it comes to the church. Let me just give you some examples for everybody that's listening in, because y'all are like, oh, where is he going with this? Slow down.
I know you got to be careful, but you need to say it.
Yeah. In many cases, when the man walks into the building, it smells like a potpourri shop.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't smell like a place where men are going to relax or hang out. Then when they walk into the sanctuary, the auditorium, the entire stage is covered with flowers or lilies or what have you. You don't see lilies in a barbershop. You don't see lilies where men frequent, right? Then watch this. When you listen to the songs being sung, by and large, they are in an intonation or on a register that the man can't even get to. So you're telling me to engage in a worship that I don't even hear my, right? Think about it. When we work out, do you listen to high register music? No, you listen to something with some bass and some bottom in it, right? And so men don't feel themselves. They don't see themselves and hear themselves. And we're not even going to get to the conversation of what, oh, this is dangerous territory, of what fashion has done in the church to men's attire. Men often don't feel or see themselves. And now we're going to come and talk about something called soul care. And the first question that a man is asked, what I need this for? All right, I'm back. We're back to the mile marker. Let's go.
I love it.
Yeah. Dr. Carter, Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor Brown, and then we'll go to Dr. Carter.
I mean, I wish, you know, I looked at the notes we had before and it talked about work and what it's beginning to do to us physically, what it's doing to us emotionally. Mm. And facts is facts, y'all. If we don't learn to rest, and again, rest is not laziness, it isn't vacationing. And then we also got that whole slave mentality speaking to us, don't be lazy, right? Rest is actually entering in, right? Entering into the grace and blessings of God. It's an exercise of your faith.
Yeah.
It isn't relinquishing you. It's exercising something. It's because I want to make sure that people realize there's a difference between vacating and resting. Resting takes direction.
You said that earlier. Going there. Mm-hmm. You said that earlier, and I think that's an important point.
I want to know that there's a structural reality, and it's connected to our work.
Yeah. Well, you said earlier that vacation is not the same thing as rest, right? And I think it's important. He's not African American, but the principle, the wisdom of it is still powerful. Pastor Kerry Newhoff says, when you're vacationing from an unsustainable schedule, the vacation is not the solution.
Mm-hmm. Right. Resting's a lifestyle. It lasts more than a week. It becomes part of what you do, right? That's why we honor the Sabbath. It's part of what we do, but the Sabbath is even more than a day. It affects how we do what we do, and it's connected to our work week. It's healthy, and it creates more productive people. I think we need to recognize, especially as Black folk, we're talking about more than bottom line. We can't just deal on the financial and material side of things. We've got too many issues. And so entering into this rest as men is so important because we've got a much bigger, we have much bigger issues to deal with as a people. And so rest is necessary to doing more than just getting that bag. So I think that spiritual direction and what we see going on is necessary and important. There's more to talk about here. I think men have to be wrestled. I think we have to enter a period of desperation. When I say wrestled, I think we have to be beat. And when I say beat, I'm not talking about like getting beat like your mama beat you. I'm talking like you have to, in some way, lose.
That's powerful.
You got to lose.
That's powerful.
Like God wrestled Jacob, and Jacob wrestled back, and God won. So let's stop talking about you need to lose. God has to win.
Amen. I am just going to interrupt because there, as a spiritual director, Dr. Peacock and I, we have been quiet because this has been a riveting conversation. But we have some questions from the audience and we are almost out of time.
Okay.
And if people are listening to us, we want to definitely try to connect with that. But I want to ask Pastor Harris and you, with all of that y'all described about how, and then we're going to get to the audience questions, please. And Dr. Peacock, you can, but with all of that y'all described as blocking y'all, the flowers, the singing, the emotions, what made y'all go past? Because there's a term called caged in a state. So what made it important for y'all to go past? What happened that bypassed all of that stuff that you just told us about? All the pride, the shame, the emotions, the flowers, our environment. What was it that made y'all keep going, go forward?
I got my answer, but I'll let you go first, Pastor Brown.
Well, mine is not as powerful and sanctifying as you might think. I'm the pastor. I mean, okay, so let me just keep it 100, right? Let me just keep it real.
Right.
if I wasn't going to work,
wow.
Depending on the church, I wouldn't go.
Oh, wow.
I might not go to church or have gone to church. And then, you know, I'm kind of in the music side of things. So, you know, my dad was the minister of music. So we had something to do. And so I went because I had something to do. Okay. So that's why, I mean, kind of keeping it real. Otherwise, I don't feel like going in here and all that. I don't feel like that. I just want to hurry up for it to be over to get to the game. But if I'm preaching, I don't care.
Wow.
Right? Because I feel like, yeah, so I think that's why I go. But I would say the other reason I go is somebody connected with me outside at a worship service.
Amen. I love, this is the most honest conversation. I agree. Yes, I love that. Took the words right out of my mouth. Yep.
Yeah, I think my answer to the question that you asked, Dr. Carter, is simply this. I worked through it, and I, maybe different than Pastor Brown, I still would go, even if I wasn't the pastor or the preacher, because of discipleship.
That's good.
I was discipled.
Awesome.
I wasn't churched.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't churched. I was discipled.
Amen.
I was held accountable. I was metaphorically punched in the chest. And I recognize, let me acknowledge this. I also recognize that, and I don't mean this to be arrogant, so please hear the heart behind it. I believe because of God's unique purpose for my life, he literally orchestrated the people that became a part of my village from childhood, even through college. And not all of that village was Christian. Some of that village was not Christian, but they had a foundation of ethical and moral standard that suggested to me not having ethics, not having morals, not having a core value structure in your life would be damaging and destructive. I was discipled. And I'm talking about, like Pastor Brown mentioned about the music side. So I used to play drums. My pastor growing up sat me down for 6 months as a drummer. Now listen, when you're a kid, that's a big deal. And it's even more of a big deal, watch this, when he says, not only are you sitting down, but you still got to come to church. And there's no drums being played while you're sitting there.
That's love.
That's love. Yeah.
Because I would have had you play the drums because I couldn't have the music sounded bad. Right? See, that's real love. Right? That is love.
Right. Or watch this. He said to me, I know you want to preach on Sunday. I'm not going to let you preach on Sunday for 2 years. I'm going to make you teach Bible study. He said, because anybody can get up and preach. Not everybody can teach. So when I say that, I say I was discipled, right? So for me, I think we try to introduce men to church before we are ready to disciple them.
That's good. That's the pursual side. I think I love. I think that we have to commit to. Here's the thing that will push a man back. When you go into a situation, and I understand the whole feminization of worship, and there's been a lot of discussion about that, and that's not necessarily where I'm going. Men don't want to go to a place where they're going to be shamed.
Absolutely.
And they don't want to go to a place where they feel humiliated. Come on, lift your hands. What's wrong with y'all out there? Right? Like, I want to hide. And they don't want to be humiliated. Watch what happens
every Father's Day. Every Father's Day, the one Sunday that they're told to come to church, many churches shame them on Father's Day.
Yep. Where y'all at? And why y'all ain't coming? And blah, blah, blah.
You need to step up.
Yeah, where were y'all on Tuesday night? Why didn't you come and see me? Why don't you have honest? See, what we do at Kindred Hope's a new church, but what we've done is I have gatherings and it's just honest conversation for men.
Wow. It's amazing.
And I seek to do soul care. And this is how I do it. I don't come with a topic. I don't come with a Bible study. I sit there and I say, Lord, lead me.
Amazing.
Let them pour it out. And then if you lead me, you'll be spiritually leading this group. But if I get in a pulpit and shame them and their wife sitting there, let me tell you, I had the worst counseling experience. I wanted to kill a counselor. I've never had a murderous situation, but I felt murderous because I sat there and he was reading me in front of my wife. Mm. And I could feel my wife's head going, And the more she said, the angrier I got, and the more I didn't want to come back to counseling.
Wow.
A man doesn't want to sit in church and and you're sitting there and you're you've already got a historical kind of beating and oppression living in your voice you're trying to beat. And the gospel did not come to shame us or condemn us.
Amen.
And wow. Somehow we think men are going to enter soul care. Soul care, let me tell you this too. Soul care is actually designed to repair for men. Now, hear this, to repair the shame and the humiliation and condemnation that churches have put on them by preaching a non-gospel or false gospel. So soul care is repair of that. It's rescue of that. It's respite from that.
Dr. Peacock asked me earlier, now remind me of what we're talking about next month. We might have to come back for a part two of this. This is insane.
No, we definitely have to come back on part two, and we would like to bring in another male theologian, spiritual formation leader, and spiritual director, if we can get him. But this is much needed, because what we're doing is we are highlighting some of the spiritual damage that has happened in the pews. Much of what we are talking about is very complex. And Kenny, I want you to know we see you and we hear you, and I'm going to address your latter question. So please let us.
I want to address several of his questions.
Yes, I want to address the latter one, but I'm just going to make a kind of big statement, Dr. Shonda Carter, and I know we're not going to break it down, but I want to say that the complexity of soul care is biblical, theological, racial, gender bias, and communal. That's the complexity of soul care. It's in all of those categories.
Yes.
And we spent a little bit of time talking about the scent in the sanctuary. But we also have to talk about, if we're going to deal with gender biases, it's the bias of attraction. Women come in because a man, they're attracted to a man. And that has been prominent for decades. And then we talk about the repercussions of slavery, and particularly its effects and side effects on the masculinity of the Black male. And then you brought in some biblical things, Pastor Howard, and we have to look at how even the Bible was twisted to condemn and not promote grace and caring for yourself. So there's a lot of theological, generational, and racial damage and gender damage. But Kenny, I just want to address one statement here. So if you're not here now, then maybe you'll come back later. And the scripture that comes to mind, I think, is Joshua 1:8. And it says, to meditate on the word day and night, and to do all according to all that is written therein. And then the Bible says that we will have success and we will be prosperous. So we have, this may sound a little harsh, but we have convoluted and mischanneled the meaning of success. Success, a great meaning for success is the caring of your soul. And the more you care for your soul, the more effective you will be in your relationships, in the marketplace, the healthier you'll be as an individual, as a spouse, as a parent, as a sibling. So when you ask, how would you suggest to a Black man who sees himself as successful, I will go back to that scripture and say, has that Black man meditated, or the Black woman, have they meditated on the word? Have they sought to do what God has said for them to do? Have they, are they making the relationship with God number one and flowing out of that into all the other relationships and all the other responsibilities? But there's a lot to unpack here. Yes, we definitely need to come back next month. Mm-hmm. This is where we are, and we'll see where we go after that month. but we are commissioned to save our families and our communities and our men, because you are our leaders, you are our priests, and we appreciate you. And we're only trying to do one thing, is to get things in order according to the way God has called and assigned us to first be and then to do.
Yeah. And brothers, brothers, we are aware that football starts right now. I know a lot of our brothers love some football. Not all of us, but some of us. So me and Pastor Harris are well aware that NFL starts tonight, but I don't think kickoff is right at 8. So you might have some time. They're gonna be talking a lot. Go on, Pastor Harris.
Kickoff is at 8:32.
Well, get it on the minute.
Yeah. We good.
Do you have a second there too?
Yeah. So, but I wanna dovetail just very quickly, both to address Kenny's question, which I think all three of his questions are important questions.
Yes. Yeah.
And I honor them. But I think also to what you're saying, Dr. Peacock, as we define what success is and really look at that as a man, to me, there has to be an element of the conversation that also goes to that success is not just what I leave behind, but it's who I leave behind.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
And if I don't make a deposit into people, right? Like perspective wise, I remember my grandfather saying to me one time, and I think at that time he was maybe in his mid-60s, maybe late 60s. And he started rattling down the list, like, by this year, y'all would have used up, all of my bank accounts and whatever life insurance I leave for you. By this year, y'all probably gonna sell this house that, me and grandma, we called her Nina, have worked hard to save and build for. My truck will be rusted. He just kind of walked through all that stuff. He said, but hopefully what I'll teach you and what you've learned from me, you'll never forget it. And it was a sort of a light bulb moment for me, because it challenged me to think about that our assignment is not just to get stuff, right? And as a pastor, I've had the fortunate or unfortunate, depends on how you look at it, privilege to be in the room with people taking their last breath or having their last conversations. And none of those people ever asked for their stuff. Mm. They always reached for a person. Mm. They always recollected on experiences, encounters. And I would challenge a man to ask the question or answer the question, who are you leaving behind? And what have you deposited into them that is of any consequence or significance? Because if you've not thought about that, you've really not thought about why you were born in the first place, how God wired you, and how you were wired, what you learned, what you received, on to somebody else. So then in relationship, not disconnecting this, but in relationship, I would then ask that man, have you even really had success there? Right? Because if you haven't thought about that, then your success then is temporary.
Wow. I mean, it's difficult because I actually like, you know, I completely agree. Like when we have to redefine what success means, I think that's great. I think looking at Ecclesiastes at the most successful man that ever lived, Solomon, when he tells at the end, it's nothing. I've done everything. I've eaten everything, drank everything, slept with everything, owned everything. And at the end of it, nothing. Emptiness without God. But here's the deal. I actually believe what Jesus says about rich people, rich men. And rich is on a spectrum, right? So our folk in Atlanta, the Black Mecca, supposedly, a lot of us doing good here. You know, I live in a neighborhood that look good. Okay. It makes me feel good when folk come in and say, wow, this is a Black neighborhood. You know, okay, folk from the South, you know how we is. So anyway, man, everybody yard good. Look at that big house. Anyway, but here's the deal, y'all. Jesus made it clear. It's hard for a successful person to get into the kingdom of heaven or to get with the program. When I see somebody who's incredibly successful come to faith, I know it's been an incredible miracle.
Yeah.
Like, because guess what? I'm looking at them thinking, God, please. You know, it's sort of hard to be around people who are successful and made it, because everything in the world, they've checked every box, and I can sit there and redefine what success means to them, right? But it's up. Most times they walk away sad, like the rich young ruler, right? Like they walk away sad when they have to live a life where their success doesn't add up, and it doesn't add up in the kingdom of God. So I think it requires us, again, pursuing people, explaining the gospel so they can actually be sad. I call it gospel sad, not shamed, gospel sad about their wealth and excited about Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't mean they stop being successful.
Yeah.
It just means they recognize that their wealth is not the thing that's actually able to buy the thing they now want, because they now want the Lord and the things of the Lord, and they realize a check can't get it, right? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of sadness I'm talking about, you know. And so I think it's, you know, that question is hard. It's hard because Jesus said it was going to be hard.
Yeah. But you know what's so beautiful about the passage there in Joshua is the first word is meditate.
I like that. Here we go. Soul care. Go ahead. We meditate again. Okay.
Which takes the time to reflect,
mm-hmm.
to pause, to be still, to let go, to release, and to center, and to hear. I never thought about that passage in that way until as you were talking, Pastor Brown. When that rich man comes in, they have to reevaluate, which causes you to meditate, which causes you to pause and recalculate. So Pastor Harris, it's 8:13. And I just encourage us to continue this conversation. And those of you that are listening or watching the replay, to know that we will be back talking to real men about real soul care.
Amen.
And the impact of making a difference in the kingdom.
Yeah. And maybe we'll get some non-pastors in the workplace to do it, you know?
Yeah, let me do this because we are at time, but I think a good landing point here. So I just want to very quickly the very first question that Kenny asked, I think it's worth us just quickly addressing.
Yes.
And then we'll all of us will give final comments. And Kenny's question, we'll actually put it on the screen. He says, how would you introduce Soul Care to the Black male population, possibly even a non-Christian? And so let me say this. I think, first of all, Soul Care has to be presented in the context of relationship very often. Yes. When you trust the person who is bringing Soul Care to you, then you trust what they're bringing, right? I think, secondly, in our example for many things in life is Jesus. And very often to convey an idea or a thought, Jesus would tell a story, right? So if I'm trying to introduce this even to a non-believer, I would probably use an illustration or a parable, if you would. And I would say something like, imagine if you spent your entire life going to wash and detail your car, but never taking care of the engine.
Ooh, that's good.
That's good.
You never got an oil change.
That's good.
You never changed a transmission fluid. You never changed the filter. Ooh. You never checked on your battery. Your starter is flickering, but you never check on it. Now, it's beautiful. The car is detailed. It's waxed. You got Armorall on the tires and the dashboard. You got your air freshener inside the car, but you've never looked at the hood. That is the equivalent to living your life, but never looking at your soul. At that point, I would leave it up to the man to decide of whether or not he wants a pretty car and a jacked up engine, or a pretty car and a healthy engine. And to Pastor Brown's point, once the parable is out there, it's up to you to decide what to do with it. Because I'm not going to manipulate you or fear you into Soul Care, right? But when you're ready, the food and the table has been set.
Amen.
Pastor Harris, thank you so much. And Soul Care, Soul Care includes practices such as praying and listening and being silent and resting. A multiplicity of practices that are designed to create a closer relationship between you and God. And so there are many ways to do that. Soul Care is just what it says, taking better care of your whole self, not just to have a check and not just to have a pretty car or even a pretty engine, but to the glory of God.
I am surrounded by reverends and pastors, y'all. We are going to wrap this up. Hallelujah. My closing comments are.
Let me try that. You're a pastor.
We're going to have
help us out, Shonda.
Closing. So, amen. This is important. And this is going to be continued, because the more you talk, the more I want to stay and the more I want to cling and the more I want to listen. So we are going to end our broadcast tonight, and we are thanking. Oh, this has been deep. It has been soulful. This has been wonderful. This has been needed. And as we can see by our comments, this is such an appreciated conversation. So I just thank you all so much. I'm not going to let Pastor Harris say another word. So hallelujah. Y'all keep the comments going. We can keep the conversation going. You can continue this on and add some more questions so that we can start off with the questions on the next episode. This is so needed, so important. And we, like I said, we are so grateful. We love you. We love you. We love you. I'm not even going to watch football, but it's time to go. Okay.
Good night. Good night. Pastor Harris, take us out. Good night.
Get your soul back today. Loving your whole being in a spiritual way. Get your soul.
Want you to hear it. Bless you, body, mind, soul, and your spirit. And you got